Support for WVIK comes from Kathleen Collins at the Dragonfly in Bettendorf, using both conventional and alternative counseling methods for empowerment to help create change for individuals and couples. More information is at KathleenCollinsCounseling.com.
U.S. It said the application for a visa contains two gender designations, male or female, that applicants with an X designation, preferred by many non-binary people or those who have changed their gender, should contact the U.S. Embassy for guidance. President Trump had signed an executive order calling for the federal government to recognize only two genders. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Joyce Foundation, committed to advancing racial equity and economic mobility for the next generation in the Great Lakes region. Learn more at joycefdn.org. This is NPR.
Well, here we are on a lovely morning at the Augustana College campus. You're just in time for a conversation with this week's guest, Jennifer Hirsch from QC Metrolink. I'm Kai Swanson. I hope you'll join us here on WVIK for local radio, the way it's meant to be brewed. That's ahead on Saturday Morning Live, portions recorded. Well, this is a treat for me, friends. I have been riding buses in this here River City since school days, and I'm very anxious to have one of my favorite people who represents that organization with us today, Jennifer Hirsch, who is the Manager of Administration for Metrolink, which is the mass transit provider for the Illinois Quad Cities and beyond, and we'll get all into that in fine detail as the hour unfolds. But for right now, Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you so much, Kai, for having me this morning. It is a treat.
Well, it's great to have you. It's great to have you. And I'm glad you're a good sport and you put up with instant coffee. Someday I'm going to learn how to use the coffee maker over here, but I only get over here one day a week. So.
Well, the instant coffee is actually great. It takes me back to college days.
Exactly, right? Well, we're going to get into that whole metro thing in just a little bit. But yeah, I think you and I have known each other long enough to know that you know I'm a very nosy person. And so where I want to start is right at the very beginning. Where did you grow up? Are you a Quad Cities native or did you come here along the line?
Well, I say I'm a Quad Cities native, yeah. But I grew up in a suburb of the Quad Cities, okay? And that is Geneseo, Illinois.
All right, the Maple Leafs.
The Maple Leafs. I was actually born in Moline, not Geneseo, but that is where I was raised. And I love it. It's such a quaint little town. If you haven't been out there recently, I definitely would encourage you to do it. It's just
beautiful. Love Geneseo.
I love it.
It's a great town.
The Maple Leafs. I mean, talk about football.
Of course. And we got a great coach at Augustana from Geneseo, Bob Reed.
That's right.
Okay, so this is funny. Earlier this week, a bunch of guys that I get together with coffee, we just kind of went around the table really quickly and mentioned the hospitals we were born in. So you said Moline.
It was Moline Public, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say 50-50, public or Lutheran, whether that was going to be that one. Yeah, so anyway. And then grew up then in Geneseo. Did you go to school there?
I went to school, class of 94.
All right.
And I mean, I do have to mention this since we're talking a little bit about the Maple Leafs.
Sure, please.
When I was in high school, we had one of the best teams. And during that time, I think we made it to state 3 out of the 4 years I was there.
Mm-hmm.
The state championships, unfortunately, we didn't come away with a win, but what an exciting time to be a part of that tradition. That football team,
sure,
was just awesome. A lot of fun.
Well, and that coach, Bob Reed, brought you to the state championship in the 70s a couple of times, right?
Many times. I think my uncle actually was on one of those teams that made it to state in the 70s.
And then we swiped him. And my class, so I graduated from Augustana in 86, we only saw our team lose once. The class after us never saw the team lose. And the one loss in my 4 years was the national championship game my freshman year. Okay. And then he went on to win 4 straight national championships, and it was a heady time. So I know what you're talking about. Just change the color from green to blue and gold.
Yeah,
right?
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then when it was time to be thinking about college, where did you head off to?
Oh, goodness. I actually ended up freshman year at Michigan Christian mm-hmm. College up in Rochester Hills, Michigan.
I know it.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
It is now Rochester University. They rebranded several years ago. Mm-hmm. Very small yep. college. I went up there. I wanted to sing. So mm-hmm. their choir and their small music groups were pretty well known. And that is something I wanted to do. So I really enjoyed my time there. Singing in the choir and being in a small group where we got to travel around to all
sure.
these little churches,
sure,
right?
Sure, sure, sure.
And sing and perform in front of youth groups and at churches. It was such a fun time.
Oh, great.
I did not graduate from Michigan yeah. Christian.
Yeah.
Long story, but I ended up graduating from Harding University, mm-hmm. which is in Searcy, Arkansas, mm-hmm. another small Christian mm-hmm. university. Mm-hmm. My grandparents actually met there.
Aww.
And I had some other family members who attended. My sister ended up attending and graduating from Harding as well.
Wow.
So I have family in Arkansas. My grandfather, his roots are there in Arkansas. People make fun of me because I still say y'all, and I say fixin' too. It's just ingrained.
Now, what yeah. part of the state is that located in?
It's about north, 40 miles north of Little Rock.
Okay, because my grandparents retired down to northwestern Arkansas in Boone County around Harrison,
okay.
Which is a slightly further up, I think, than where you're talking about.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. And there's another small little town south of Little Rock. It's called Amity, and that's where my grandfather was born and raised.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's beautiful in Arkansas.
Quirky little bit of local history. There was almost, and who knows what percentage, but a slight chance that you might have not had to go away for college. Because, as our records indicate, Augustana, when it was looking to move from a town called Paxton, way over on the eastern edge of the state, was so close to signing a deal with Geneseo to move to Geneseo in 1875.
No kidding.
And for reasons lost to history, at the last minute, the town council said, no, we don't want to be a college town. And so they had to keep looking, and they landed in Rock Island.
No kidding.
No kidding.
I never knew that.
I tell you the truth. Actually, that was about 1873 or 4, because they were looking around for a place, right? And that's, that's what happened.
Interesting.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
Oh,
small world.
Mio. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm grateful that you're here. So when you went to college, what kinds of things were you studying? Because your job fascinates me, and we're going to get into what that job
sure.
is. But what were some of the things that captivated your interest, other than singing, in terms of like what you wanted to study and do that kind of stuff?
Well, interestingly enough, I actually, started as a psych major. I wanted to be a therapist, counselor. I shifted gears towards mm-hmm. the end and took on more of a human resource role.
Yeah.
So I actually ended up graduating with an emphasis in human resources. I was only 9 credits away of having that double major, and I kind of kick myself now. I wish I would have gone back.
Not at
you
all.
You know, and
not
completed
at all.
That track. Yeah. But yeah, and then I ended up going back to Harding, did this online though, to uh-huh. complete my master's. And it was when online was really just starting to come up and be a thing. This was in maybe 2007-08, I think I completed my master's through Harding.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just kind of knew I wanted to do something in business.
Yeah.
Kind of after I moved on from the psychology track.
Okay.
And so that's how I landed in HR.
Right.
With that emphasis.
Well, with a great background too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think the more broad our backgrounds are, the better we're able to bring those to bear, those influences in what we do. Now, when did you start at Metrolink?
I started in 1999.
Good heavens. So you welcome Jeff Nelson on board.
Yes.
We should say Jeff Nelson is a community treasure because not only has he led this great organization, he's recognized nationally.
He sure is.
As is the organization, including you, for all the great work that you do. But so you got there into that area. What has kept you there? Because, you know, we live in an era when folks will sometimes work 5, 7, maybe 10 years at a job. What do you think's kept you there?
I absolutely love the fact that I can get up every day and know that we are making an impact in people's lives.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about it.
You know,
it's not, you know, something everyone can say that mm-hmm. their job has these real tangible results on mm-hmm. people's lives. And I just love it. I mm-hmm. mean, I have so much pride in what we do for the community and for people. I can't imagine doing anything else. I've been doing it a long time. So,
well, tell us about the trajectory, though. What were you doing when you started?
Oh, my goodness. I started as a marketing specialist.
Okay.
And it was one of those temporary jobs.
Of course.
I was looking for a job.
Like, yeah.
I did not set out to work in public transit, you know, 26 years ago. That wasn't even on my radar screen. So I landed this job and I just kind of fell in love with it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, and it's a great organization. And as I alluded to before, I started when it was Rock Island County, Mass yeah. Metropolitan Transit District.
Because
we called it RICMATID.
RICMATID. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Forgot about the Metropolitan. But and that was how I got home from Rock Island High School, would be to hop the bus and, head on home. And it's been a great service ever since. And we'll get into the impact that it has locally now, but we're fortunate to be in a kind of a Cinderella-sized community because communities getting a little bit smaller than us may not have the ability to support an organization and a service like this. And when they get bigger, well, that brings all kinds of other issues, I'm sure. But how do we rate nationally in terms of size
we would be considered like a small urban.
Yeah.
You know, on a smaller scale, but I always say that we function or we think bigger than that. I mean, you talked about Jeff and just his innovation and all the things that he has done over the past 42 years. But I know we're going to get into that a little bit later, but but definitely, I mean, we are just so proud of what we do, proud of the service, thankful for the community support, people such as you and Augustana and all the partnerships we have. It really takes a team to make it work.
Mm-hmm. But I'm still kind of fascinated by, so you had this incredible background weaving together some human resources, some psychology, obviously some marketing communication skills are very, very evident. What were the things that you were doing before landing at Metrolink?
Really, college?
So it was right from college and then on in.
Right. There was about a 6 months hiatus.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really my first big girl job, is that what I like to say. Really had no idea what I was doing.
Right.
But, you know, you learn. And it's just been a great atmosphere. I can't say enough about it.
Yeah. Well, that's really kind of cool. And then I also very much appreciate it when people when they come to the Quad Cities from other places and realize what its attractions are. But it's also a special thing when people who grew up here decide to make their lives here. Now, there's two categories of that, Jennifer. There's those who, I guess, to borrow from John Lennon, life is what happens as you're doing other things, right? Then all of a sudden you wind up, you realize you're here. And then there are those who said, no, this is really where I want to put down roots. What category do you think you'd put yourself into on that?
This is where I really want to put down roots
category. Yeah,
I mean, I was born and raised in the area. I love the Quad Cities.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about that all the time, you know, and
yeah.
in our various circles, how it's just a wonderful community and diverse and so many different things to do. It's just a gem.
Okay, now you're setting me up to put in a plug because what's coming up very shortly, Quad Cities Restaurant Week.
Oh, yeah, that's a couple weeks, right?
It's coming up. Very soon. And I just list. I couldn't wait to get the list of restaurants. I think they've updated it because yesterday was the final. But I'm going to use that as an excuse to try some new places. There is an African restaurant in Davenport. I'm going to get this wrong, but the name is something like I Love Fufu, F-U-F-U. So I can't wait to give that a try. But there's always something new here.
Popping up, yes.
And that's the nice, again, the Cinderella size. I mean, if you're in such a big place, you can look at one spot on the corner of Devon and whatever, and all of a sudden it's going to be a different place every 6 months like clockwork, right? Mm-hmm. But here you do get some new things, and when they stick, they're great.
Absolutely. They're and fantastic. Then you also have, oh my goodness, when you think about restaurants and just little local fairs, I got to do a little plug for Lago's.
Lago of Marcinos. Course. Okay, you started. What's your go-to order at Lago's?
The turtle sundae.
Of course. But what about for like lunch, before dessert?
Okay. So I believe they just started their lunch back up.
Right.
Right before St. Patty's Day, or was on
St.
Patty's
starting,
Day.
Right. Yeah.
March 17th. Well, I do love their Rubens. But also in the summer, they have these gigantic tomatoes, stuffed tomatoes, like a tuna salad or a chicken salad.
You're making me hungry.
I know.
They do. So this is kind of quirky and maybe only Swedes like this, but they do a ham salad. And they do it on this light Swedish rye. And that was one of my ma's favorite dishes. She would beg to get the recipe for their rye because it reminded her of her mother's.
Sure.
So I've got some. Yeah, I saw your eyes just kind of. But don't worry. Don't worry, Beth, Tom, and the Lago Marcinos gang. I'm coming for some ham salad before you know it. But first, we're going to step aside for a second. My guest this week is Jennifer Hirsch from QC Metrolink, and it's a treat to have her here. But we're going to step aside right now because we love the Composer's Datebook.
This is the Composer's Datebook for March 22nd. I'm John Burge. On this day in the year 1886, critic Gustav Dumke wrote these lines in the German Times of Vienna after attending a performance of one of Anton Bruckner's symphonies. Quote, "We recoil in horror before this rotting odor which rushes into our nostrils from the disharmonies of this putrefactive counterpoint. Bruckner composes like a drunkard." Close quote. Today, with Bruckner's symphonies performed and recorded so often, it's doubtful many listeners recoil in horror from his rich romantic harmonies. But he's always been a little controversial. Bruckner's European contemporaries and his early American audiences found his approach to symphonic composition puzzling, bizarre, or more often than not, simply boring. The vogue for Bruckner symphonies in America had to wait until the latter part of the 20th century, a full 100 years after many of them received their premier performances in Europe. In 1941, for example, when Bruno Walter conducted Bruckner's giant Eighth Symphony at Carnegie Hall with the New York Philharmonic, music critic Olin Downs lamented that Walter hadn't chosen a more interesting program, and noted that the Bruckner Symphony sent a number of listeners from the hall before it had finished. Composer's Datebook is produced by APM, American Public Media, in collaboration with the American Composers Forum, reminding you that all music was once new.
And of course, we're big Bruckner fans here in the Quad Cities, thanks to the Quad City Symphony Orchestra and Maestro Mark Russell Smith. Well, guess what, friends? You've just tuned in to a program sponsored by the WVIK Quad Cities NPR app. That app brings everything you love, news, music, podcasts, and conversations like this one, right to your fingertips. You can stream live, you can catch up on WVIK podcasts, you can even share your thoughts using the Talk to Us feature. It's WVIK wherever you go. Download the WVIK app today. It's free and easy. And talking about a fun time, I'm having one right now. My guest is Jennifer Hirsch from QC Metrolink. We have been, I've been really sort of nosy with Jennifer about her background, but now we're going to talk more about the great things she and her organization do. Jennifer is the manager of administration for Metrolink. And you referenced this little partnership you have with higher ed institutions around the area, not just ours, where our students and employees get to ride Metro for free using their student IDs. And it's a real eye-opener. I mean, I had a couple of international students come into my office like back in September. They just started classes, and it was they just heard from everybody else, there's nothing to do here. Mm-hmm. I sat them down, first showed them the Visit Quad Cities events calendar. Then I showed them how to use the Metro app awesome. And the website and everything else. And I checked in with them lately and they're like, just, oh, this place is great. This place Love is it. Fantastic. So now, how do you keep a mass transit district current? And this is a leading question because I'm just so impressed with the innovations you guys have done, especially in the course of this century, the last couple of decades, and the things that you have done. So I'm putting you on the spot. What's the magic secret sauce?
What is the secret sauce?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Wow. You talked about innovation, and that is something that we believe in. And, you know, we talked a little bit about Jeff, and I think you called him a community treasure.
He
was
is.
The word
he
that you
is.
Used. But yeah, Jeff has just been absolutely amazing in just driving forward new things that keep us relevant and on top of things. I have a lot of different projects I can go through and maybe talk about what we're doing now.
Sure.
I think one of the most important things that we do, aside from our mission just to get people where they need to go, you know, mm-hmm. work, school, mm-hmm. medical appointments, we are sustainable organization. You know, mass transit itself helps the environment by removing people off cars and,
right. And
you know,
yeah, traffic,
exactly.
Right?
So the more people you can get on the bus, the less individual car emissions you're going to have. But, you know, we really started down that path of transitioning from standard diesel buses to a better type of fuel back in 2002.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember that. We rolled
compressed
out
natural.
Yeah, yes. We rolled out those compressed natural gas buses is
right.
what we did,
yeah,
and that was
yeah.
actually a fun little story I want to talk about. When we first did that in 2002, John Deere actually happened to be in the CNG bus market with like yellow school buses,
uh-huh.
and a conversation happened between Jeff and John Deere, and John Deere said, hey, you know what? We will put our natural gas engines in your first 12 CNG. So that was a really, really cool thing to do.
Absolutely.
To have, you know, John Deere be a part of this program. So, you know, we continued to transition to that CNG over the years. We got to about 70%. And then battery electric popped up.
Yep.
Back in 2018, we deployed our very first battery electric buses. And we currently have 17 on the road right now. Plans to purchase an additional 4 to 6 over the next probably 2 years. So have invested heavily in that technology.
And both, obviously, the electric, but in a lot of people don't realize that the compressed natural gas, that takes a lot of the carbon load out. Mm-hmm. So you don't have any diesel anymore, right?
I no, mean, yeah, we yeah. are 100% eco-friendly.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know of a whole lot of transit districts who can say that.
Yeah,
so something yeah. we're very, very proud of.
Yeah, yeah. And so these, I remember the news conference or the news event when you had the first electric battery buses, and those were made in China. Are they still coming from?
No, they're American made.
They're American,
American
made.
American
made. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I thought there was some angle there.
Well, so. There was yeah? a company that made battery electric buses that was from China, uh-huh. but not ours, 100%
yeah, yeah.
American.
Okay,
yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
gotcha. Well, I mean, that would be an important thing now because, you know, with the, you know, the tariffs and everything else like this, I want to make sure that you don't hit any speed bumps
right.
on this wonderful innovation
yeah.
That you're doing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
when you're getting on a bus, you're, you know, not only taking your vehicle out of the equation, you're taking your carbon footprint out and making it a little bit lighter. So that's a smart thing to do.
100%.
And, but you've also, I think it's so funny because when I started, you know, the bus showed up when the bus showed up and, you know, we'd be waiting after school and whatever. Now it's in the palm of my hand. I can actually track them. So how do people use the bus now that might be different from those of us who used it when we were younger?
Yeah, it is a little easier. You can you don't have to sit around and guess. You can use your app. You can use the website.
What is the name of the app?
It's the Transit app.
Transit app. Mm-hmm. And you can find, I know I found it in the Apple store or something.
Apple, Google Play. Yeah, it's an app that a lot of agencies use. Mm-hmm. So if you go to maybe a larger market or Chicago or whatever, the Transit app might be something that that particular agency uses. So it's kind of nationwide. Mm-hmm. Makes it a little bit easier when you're traveling.
Yeah, yeah. And then even other things like, I think Google Maps, if you chart out your course, yeah. It'll give you an idea of what to ride.
Yeah, you can. Google Maps is great because you can choose a car. You can choose if I'm going to walk or if I'm going to do transit or if I can do biking. So
and
it's
I can
great.
Put
my, it gives you all these different options.
And I can put my bike on a metro bus.
And you would be surprised how many people use those bike racks, even in the dead of winter.
Oh, yeah. It's especially that's I'm always looking at them because I've used them when I'm riding around, right? And so when I see a bus, the first thing I do is I look at the front. See, mm-hmm. there's something in the corral there, and it's really fun to see. And also, I got to tell you, this might be a little bit too meta, but I like to use MetroLink because it makes me a little more conscious of how I'm getting around, right?
Sure.
It's too easy to get in the car, drive, vroom, 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 and then, you know, be shocked by a train or something like that. When you're using the bus, you get to be a little more thoughtful and think, you know, this, I could, if I do this, then I could stop by the Atlas Collective in downtown Moline, and then I could do this and be out at Alinawek Park and yada, 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 yada.
And you can also sit on the bus and be on your phone and not, you know, or be on your laptop. And you can do that freely and, you know, instead of being in your car, and certainly don't want to encourage you to be on your phone while you're in your car. So that's why, you know, I just think more and more younger people, they want to use transit. I mean, there's studies out there that show, you know, not as many young people are getting their driver's license right away.
Yes, that's right. Or delaying, right?
They just want to be constantly connected on that phone.
Well,
and they want to do it safely.
Yeah.
And the way to do that is to hop on a bus and not be driving.
It's funny that you mentioned that. And I just happened to throw out that Atlas Collective, which is a fun little coffee shop in Moline. And I was going to meet some people there. And I had this report I had to be working on. So I was actually able to grab it. And in the very brief ride, I was able to do some editing, you know, instead of having to drive.
100%. Yeah. Multitasking.
And you guys are so responsive to what people need to do. So first I'm going to start with a larger example and then I'll give you a more focused one. But there was a need to get people to certain workplaces and Metro was there. You stepped in. And I'm thinking about Joslyn as one idea, but what are some other ways that you mentioned earlier, part of your mission is to connect people with work, which means to connect people with economic activity, which means to make the Quad Cities more vibrant.
Economic opportunity. That's what it's all about. Yeah, Joslyn, we've had that in place for, oh my goodness, 20, 25 years.
Wow.
Those buses are full.
Yeah.
Every day heading out there. We cover all the shifts. So it's just a really, really great partnership that we've had with Tyson. One of the other things I want to talk a little bit about is our micro transit.
Oh, please. Yes.
Yeah. So that's in Milan. And we piloted that project back in 2019. So micro transit essentially is a shared van, a shared ride, kind of like an Uber, but it's a van. So you're going to share the ride with, you know, a couple people, but you can use an app as well to schedule your ride, schedule your pickup, and we'll come pick you up and take you where you need to go in Milan. That service is only available in Milan. It works really well in Milan. Milan is a small town, maybe 5,000. Mm-hmm. It's got your grocery store. It's got your pharmacy. It's got all that you need. And so the residents of Milan are just really loving this microtransit option. Get them to work within their little community. So it's just another way, I think, when you talk about innovation, you know, looking at what are the other mobility options that we can provide other than your standard bus.
Sure, sure.
So you have your micro, we have, you know, the bike racks. Mm-hmm. You know, how can we encourage people to look at all different modes of transportation?
Yeah.
You know, it's all connected.
Well, and I remember at least one occasion I had to travel for the college. So I left my car here on campus with my little bag for the weekend and stepped right out in front of Old Main, took a couple of buses to get me to the airport. Bada bing, bada boom, off I go.
Yeah, that airport connection is really, really important.
It is nice. And you don't have to, well, I mean, I don't want to get in trouble with Ben Leshner out at the airport, but then we don't have to pay for parking. So there's a little something to be said.
It's great, but we do know. I know Ben is great. I mean, we partner with him on a lot of things and really appreciate his support. We have, you know, a beautiful mega stop out there at the airport mm-hmm. you can catch our Route 20 straight shot down to Moline, downtown Moline. Catch another bus. I mean, you can get wherever you need to go from the airport.
And you guys are so responsive. We talked about the employers, but you also know what college kids like. And I don't think this will be a surprise to anyone listening who has a college kid in their life. But the number one most popular destination for a college kid is Target.
Target.
And then you guys put together 53, right?
Route 53 just for our beautiful Augustana students.
Well, you take a lot of other people, it gets them out to Target.
Target.
Right. So this is not a plug for the Dayton Hudson Corporation, but I do know a lot of college kids would probably choose a different college if they didn't have access to a Target.
A Target, and maybe a Starbucks.
Yeah,
what
gotta
else?
Have a Starbucks, gotta have it all there. So, and we're talking about surface transportation on roads, but you guys don't stop there. You guys go on the water.
We are on the water.
Tell us about that.
How did that? We're going with that.
How did it start? Give it good. I love history. Go back. Tell us how it started.
Okay, I will go back, and this is a plug for one of my favorite organizations, River Action, which mm-hmm. I know we're going to probably get into a little bit more. But Kathy Wine just had this idea. Everyone knows Kathy. She's mm-hmm. a treasure as well.
And she's been on this show.
Has she?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great. So Kathy and had this idea that she wanted to maybe like put a boat on the water and see what happens. And she got a group of stakeholders together, including Jeff, talked a little bit about it, you know, said, oh, well, we have this grant. Maybe we'll study this first. And the consensus was, well, let's not study it. Let's not waste money and time studying it. Let's just put a boat on the water and see what happens. So the very first boat was in 1995. Yeah, we're celebrating 30 years. So 1995, it was just a little pontoon boat. River Action operated it for 2-3 years before Kathy decided that, you know, maybe Jeff and Metrolink were the right folks to, mm-hmm. to maybe take mm-hmm. that over. Mm-hmm. So we did, and it really opened the door for us to go after a number of grant funds and really expand the service. So we purchased 3 new boats. We've done a lot of dock projects. Mm-hmm. We're in the middle mm-hmm. of several dock projects. We have the Village of East Davenport dock that we're going to be working on this summer, the dock at the Bend, which will probably be next summer. We just completed the upgrade of the John Deere Commons dock. Mm-hmm. We're working on, you know, finishing the bike path and some other improvements here yet this spring. And then we also received a little over $14 million to look at a battery electric passenger ferry boat. So
did not, if I recall correctly, didn't the original boats have engines that were built by John Deere?
The current boats do.
They still do.
Yeah.
That's great. That's
the original one, no, because that was just a little pontoon boat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So what you see now is what we purchased in 2000.
Okay. All right.
I believe. And they have John Deere engines. Yes, you. Great
That's,
plug. Thank
you, Kai. Got to keep an eye out for the green and gold, you know.
That's right. So we're very excited. And those actually run on biodiesel.
Right.
The Channel Cats do
right
now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and if you, friends, if you're listening and you've never done it, I hope as the season gets underway, I hope you do. It's in our family, when we have family or other guests coming and visiting, it's a great way to get your guests out on the river without having to pay docking fees and slips and gas and everything else. And you get the, oftentimes there's even like fun little programs that are done on your while you're enjoying the scenery.
Yeah. So if I have a quick second, I want to talk about that. Through River Action. You know, I am on that board and it's near and dear to me. But we do have a summer education program. And one of the elements of that is the Channel Cat Talks. So if you want a little bit different experience, then maybe just hopping on during regular hours. The Channel Cat Talks are Tuesdays and Thursdays at 10 a.m., and they feature a wide range of programming. I want to give a little shout out to a couple of the programs that we got coming up on the Channel Cat Talks. So we start May 27th, and guess what? We have Dave Heller, the owner of the Quad City River
Bandits. Who's also been on the show.
Has he been on the show, too?
Yeah,
going to talk about the history of minor league baseball here in the Quad City.
May 27th?
May 27th.
I got to sign up for that one.
How fun is that? We have another program. Or another day where we're going to talk with Anthony Hedelson. Has he been on your show?
Not yet.
He's with the Corps of Engineers. And this one's really geared towards kids. He's going to talk about what a lock and dam is.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be able to lock through the dam that day.
Which you normally don't do on the Channel Cat, right?
And then, of course, Augustana's very own Norm Moline.
Nobody knows this community like Norm.
I know. He's going to talk about ecology and just, you know, some of the wildlife we see on the river. I could go on and on.
Well, here's the thing. If I'm not writing this down fast enough, is there a website
I
can go to? Where should I go?
Riveraction.org.
So River Action carries that schedule. That's wonderful. That's fantastic.
I know, really, because there's so much variety with these Channel Cat Talks. There's also going to be some that talk about the blues, the history of the blues, and music on the Mississippi. And wait, Kai, yours truly. I'm going to be giving a Channel Cat Talk, two of them. And we're going to talk about what happens behind the scenes, how we get ready for the season. We're going to talk about, you know, the projects we have going.
Pull back the curtain. I get it. Well, listen, you could not have queued this up any better had you tried. But this is the time. By the way, my guest is Jennifer Hirsch from QC Metrolink. And this is the time in our show every week when we play a little bit of music. And it's springtime. But every spring is its own kind of a spring. And you mentioned blues. And I'm so glad you did, because I've been doing this show for more than 2 years, and I don't believe this myself, Jennifer. I have never, during our Saturday morning jam, featured Billie Holiday, which, if you know my musical tastes, that's a little bit disappointing, and I disappoint myself the time. So now for the Saturday morning jam, let's hear something about some other spring, Billie Holiday.
Some other spring I'll try to love. Now I still cling to faded blossoms, fresh when worn, left crushed and torn, like the love affair I'm. Some other spring, when twilight falls, will the night bring another to me? Not your kind, but let me find it's not true that love is blind. Sun shines around me, but deep in my heart, it's cold as ice. Love, once you found me, but can that story unfold twice? Some other spring will my heart wake, stirring to sing love's magic music, then forget the old duet and love in summer, the spring. Sun shines around me, but deep in my heart, it's cold as ice. Can that story unfold twice? Some other spring will my heart wake, stirring to sing love's magic music, then forget the old duet.
Day. Billie Holiday, Some Other Spring. And that's how we celebrate this week, being the week in which we saw the first full day of spring. And you know, Saturday Morning Jam is underwritten each week. And this week, Saturday Morning Jam is underwritten by Mud Rain. Just when you thought living in the Quad Cities has thrown at you every conceivable meteorological phenomenon known to the Weather Channel, well, we'll just pick up several tons of Oklahoma dust and drop it on your car. Yes? It's mud rain. And I don't know if you got the mud rain this week. Jennifer Hirsch, my guest this week. Did you get some mud rain?
I did.
So did I.
I did. It was super odd.
The timing was really weird because I went out, mud rain, right? And then left the car out and the later rain took a bunch of it off,
sure
right?
Did.
And then my spouse, she was out and then she was back in and was in the garage when the nice rain came. So her car's filthy, which is usually the opposite of the case at the Swanson household. Mine's the one that looks like, you know, the Partridge Family bus went off the rails, something like that. And hers is the one that looks nice, neat, and respectable. Jennifer Hirsch from Metrolink is my guest here. Now, we were talking about these things that you do. You do so many things in our community, and just one of them is, as you referenced, the River Action Board. What is it about that organization that you find attractive?
I just love what it stands for.
Yeah.
You know, the Mississippi River is our greatest asset here in the Quad Cities. And River Action, I mean, our mission is to advocate for the river, to educate people about the river, to showcase the river, fun things, recreation. It's just such a vital, vital part of who we are. And
yeah.
I'm happy to be a part of an organization that just works every day, you know, to promote it and make sure that we're taking care of it.
Mm-hmm. I got to put in a little bit of some deep history that Kathy knows very well, but many years ago, she had my dad give a lecture for River Action, and he used to love to walk all over the Quad Cities and, of course, the riverfronts and everything like that. And he said in that lecture, he said, "We have lived by the river. We must learn to live with the river." And Kathy included that in one of the Riverfront Trail publications years ago.
That was Swanee.
But that's not the only thing you do in our community. You're a part of a lot of other organizations. What are other things that really speak to your passions?
Yeah. So the Black Hawk College Foundation.
Outstanding.
Yes. Yes. I'm really excited about the work that the foundation does. It's all about supporting students and providing scholarships to those who, you know, may not be able to attend college because of any financial reason.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So last year, we actually provided over 200,000 in scholarships to 219 students.
Wow.
I know. It's just amazing. I do want to put in a little plug for our upcoming Black and Gold Scholarship Fundraiser. It is April 3rd. We will have a dinner, silent auction. We will also be inducting Black Hawk College graduates into the Hall of Fame. So we have a lot of local leaders here who maybe got their start at Black Hawk and have done great things in the community. So we'll be inducting several of those into our Hall of Fame. And then, of course, my favorite part of the evening will be a fund for a cause. And so you can also, you know, continue to support the college by, you know, writing a check or participating in the silent auction. But I certainly just love what the foundation does for students in our community.
Well, and, you know, this is one of the things that I'm very fortunate that I get to travel around the state of Illinois and around the country in higher ed circles. And I just wish more of my fellow Quad citizens had an appreciation for how fortunate we have it here. We've got an outstanding college in Black Hawk on one side of the river and an outstanding Eastern Iowa Community College District on the other side of the river. And these, like Metro, these are economic engines, not even engines, they're superchargers. And they help people get to that next stage and move on and higher and higher.
If I could,
please
have a minute.
I do
want to read just one statement from a student who was a recipient of a scholarship.
Okay.
Do you mind?
I don't mind.
Okay. This is what he says. He says, "I am a non-traditional student returning to the world of higher education after almost 9 years of joining the workforce. Mm-hmm. I come from a background and community rooted in the struggles of poverty and addiction. So being able to seek college-level instruction is a goal that has been financially untenable for the past many years of my adult life. My return to higher education would not be possible without your assistance." I mean,
that's powerful stuff.
It's powerful.
That's what gets you out of the bed and moving in the morning. I mean, that kind of work, like you said, that was what you wanted to do back in Geneseo. You wanted to make a difference.
Make a difference.
Right?
Absolutely.
And when you get stuff like that, what a tremendous thing.
I know. I love this organization so much. One of the other organizations I work with and volunteer with is Junior Achievement.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. Okay. But first, if I want to find out more about the Black and Gold event, what website should I go to?
BlackHawkFoundation.org.
BlackHawkFoundation.org. Thank you. See, I need these things because I'm going to forget everything at 11 o'clock, Jennifer. So just...
No worries. I
need the reminders. And now you talked about J.A. and our good friend Dougal.
Dougal. Has he been on your show yet?
Yes, he has.
I figured.
Well, talk.
Tell
us about
okay,
it. Why,
yeah.
why do you like JA?
So I've been a volunteer for JA for about 10 years, and I do a class, the fourth grade class. I teach a program to them in Orion, fourth grade classes, and it's called JAR Region. It's like a five-class program where you go in and present on our region. So I teach about our local region and I teach kids what it's like to be an entrepreneur, what it takes to be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And it's just so much fun. I mean, these kids get to come up with, you know, ideas on their own business. They start to understand what it's like to run a business.
Yeah.
It's not.
I often think there's so many ways I feel like I've led a charmed life because I was in that sweet spot going to school in the late 70s when for JA, I got to do JA with, it might've been 80, I don't know. One of the businesses was a television show on WQAD. We produced it. We sold advertising. Lloyd Bolcom, a legend, absolute legend. He's no longer with us, but he was sort of the advisor to that program. And so here I am, I don't know, I was maybe a junior in high school, and I'm learning about broadcasting and business and advertising and everything else. And for the actual show, I did an album review. It was Billy Joel.
Nice.
I'm trying to remember which album it was. And then also Queen. And, And I thought it was so cool that I got to take those albums. And yes, they were vinyl.
Were they vinyl? I was just going to ask you. They must have been vinyl.
I got to keep those when it was done. So.
I love it.
Absolutely. But JA, it's a great program. And from your perspective as a volunteer, do you find that just hanging out with some kids every so often, do you find it as therapeutic as I do? Because it's really energizing, I think.
It is. It's energizing. They are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I will tell you, I have a new appreciation for teachers.
Oh, hey now.
After spending time in classrooms. I mean, they are heroes.
My son-in-law is a middle school principal. So I think if there is an express lane to heaven when the day comes, he's on it.
100%.
And all of the teachers in his and every other middle school.
I know.
The work is demanding, but it's so very, very important.
Absolutely. They are amazing.
We've been talking about volunteer gigs. What kinds of stuff do you do? Just, you know, kicking back and having fun.
Kicking back and having fun.
Yeah.
Well, when I was thinking last night about kind of some of the things I wanted to share.
Sure.
So one of my favorite things to do is go to Canada fishing.
Really?
Yes.
Where do you like to go?
So we go to a place called Lac de Mille, and it's just outside Thunder Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And neat story. So my father-in-law has been going to the same place since 1969. And
wow.
So that tradition has been carried on, you know, with his kids and now my kids. It's beautiful up there. It's rustic. You know, there's no internet. There's no cell phone service, which is really, really nice. You can completely unplug.
Oh, it's lovely.
I love it.
So, I don't get that far north. I don't. Because, I mean, in the UP where we go, that's still like the Miami Beach of Thunder Bay. It's way south. But that's
very
up there.
Similar.
Yeah,
very
yeah.
Similar landscape and, you know, all the fishing.
Jack Pine Forest, lovely lakes, crystal clear water. Yeah. Isn't
it's
that
gorgeous.
Great?
So
well,
love
thank
to
you
do
for sharing
that.
That's
I
a great
know.
Tip.
So, well, we have a trip coming up mid-June.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll do our family trip up to Canada.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, what about around here? What kinds of fun stuff do you like to do?
Okay. Well, we've talked about a lot of them. We talked about the Channel Cat.
Yeah. Gotta do that.
Past Christmas and holiday season, I went to Circa 21.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't been in a while.
Oh, we do that. I mean, my spouse always made that a priority, right? And so we try to get there for the Christmas show and other shows, and then the ones that are fun for the grandkids. Oh, and I gotta pass along the biggest news of the week, Jennifer. I'm now an octo-grandpa.
Congratulations.
Number eight. Madison came along, so now it's four girls, four boys. And if anybody has the temerity to have another one, it'll be the tiebreaker. So we'll have to wait and see.
Oh, that's
we'll have to
awesome.
Wait and see. Yeah, yeah, it is. It, well, come on. It really is, right?
It is awesome. I love it.
Help it. So anyway, I'm sorry. I distracted you.
No, you're fine. I mean, Circa is just a great gem.
It is.
In the Quad Cities. If you haven't been, I encourage people to go. You know, it is a commitment. You know, I think I was there maybe for 5 hours. I mean, you want to go. You want to enjoy it. You do the pre.
The bootleggers. They are amazing. I mean, they're a lot of fun. Sometimes I'm laughing harder at the bootleggers.
I know. They're great.
Well, and just to have that resource in our community.
Absolutely.
Is
we
so
have a strong
phenomenal.
Arts community. And
Of course.
And then, of course, coming up this summer, we have our all-time favorite, the John Deere Classic.
Yes. And Metro plays a big role in that, right?
We do. So we do help the John Deere Classic and their mission to be sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
So we use our battery electric buses out there to help people, help guests get from parking lots to the tournament.
I got to throw in one thing just for history's sake, just so it's we remind ourselves of this little bit of history. Again, I've been doing the show for a little more than 2 years. There has been only one guest has ever uttered a swear on my show. Only one. And it was Denny Hitchcock, the founder of Circa 21. And it was within context. It was fine.
Yeah.
He was referencing a very well-known song from a very well-known musical that many actors use in their auditions. And it's just got a light one that starts with S and ends in T. So, but we snuck that. I think we snuck that past the FCC. I don't know. I'll probably get in trouble for even mentioning it now. But so, okay. Any others you want to give us? I mean, you've given us some great stuff so far.
I have, you know, I do want to plug, I got to go back to Geneseo, but then one other thing I want to plug, The Cellar. Okay.
Great restaurant.
Also, you know, I currently live in Andover, and
know,
Kai, we haven't talked about this, but you are very familiar.
Extremely.
With Andover.
If you listen very closely, you'll hear my voice on some videos down in the basement in the museum.
Oh, I bet I would.
Yeah.
So Andover is just a cute little community, not too far outside of the Quad Cities. And the great thing about Andover, we have the most beautiful lake
Yes,
that
you do.
You can fish in. And I tell you what, people come from all over to fish in this lake.
It's a lovely, lovely, lovely little pond.
It's
and
beautiful.
In fact, one of the things I'm going to try to make on my list for this summer is to take the bike ride circuit from Andover to Bishop Hill and back. And we'll have something to report about on that, I'm sure. But for now, can you believe it? You thought this sounded like a lot of time, but we're out of time, Jennifer.
Wow.
And I'm so grateful to you for spending your time with us. And fortunately, friends, it's going to do it for this week. My guest has been Jennifer Hirsch, the manager of administration for QC Metrolink. Thank you so much for being with
Thank
us.
Thank you, Kai. It's been so wonderful.
And I told you it was less painful than a root canal, so there you go. Well, anyway, friends, in our forecast for today, might not be a bad day to get out and about. Sunny skies, a high reaching near 50 degrees. We might get some rain overnight and tomorrow. And then Sunday night, it'll clear out by about 7. Monday, sunny skies with a high near 50. The temperatures will stay nice and seasonable during the week. And we hope you will find ways to enjoy that amazing season. Because isn't it true, friends? If you survived winter, spring is sweeter. So get out and have some fun. Ahead on WVIK, it's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Be sure to join us next week when our guest will be Lance Sadleck, who is the executive director of the Adler Theater in River Center, and that'll be right here on Saturday Morning Live, portions recorded. You know, you can find our podcast at wvik.org or just tune in to Quad Cities NPR, WVIK 90.3 FM and HD in Rock Island, and 95.9 FM K240 DZ in Dubuque. The time now, friends, is 11 o'clock, which means time for NPR News on your public radio station, WVIK.